Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, it's another special episode. In the news special.
In the news.
I'm in the paddock. F1, Greeny and the Cheese. Oh, there's a whole bunch going on in the F1 world, let me tell you. All kinds of stuff flying. People are quitting. Three races in, saying I'm going somewhere else. People rumored to be losing jobs. People getting offered mad cash to change teams.
Buku dollars.
Buku dollars. So let's get into it.
Without further ado. Without further ado. What are we getting to right away?
Aston Martin has apparently, at Saudi Arabia actually, offered Adrian Newey an astronomical offer to leave Red Bull and come over to Aston Martin.
You're so excited to drop that, huh? You didn't even give me the greeny, how are you? You're going to plow right through that. No. Let's talk about Newey. All right, let's talk about Newey. How does that change the landscape if Adrian Newey leaves for Red Bull? Does that make a difference? Is Red Bull such a well-oiled machine at this point that this is going to matter if Adrian Newey's there or not?
I think it absolutely matters. I think if he leaves, a lot of other people are going to leave too. In that aero department, I think they're going to jump ship as well. Some you know, might stay behind and try and take over, but Newey's the mega mind right now that everybody wants. I mean, Ferrari apparently offered him like a blank check, basically. So
why
everybody wants him? Why wouldn't you? I mean, his designs recently have been just designs you want. I mean, they might have even been, Red Bull might have been challenging Mercedes with his designs if they didn't have, you know, that Honda debacle for the number of years once they went over to Honda and they were struggling with power compared to the Mercedes. I mean, they could keep up with Mercedes through, you know, they would make up time in the corners and the twisty bits of the track, but on the straights and the longer high speeds, Mercedes had the power advantage, so they would always just dominate. But so Adrian Newey's been the guy you want, so I don't know why you wouldn't want that man.
I think any
just
team.
Say, here, how much money you want? I'm like, how much money do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, any team not would be stupid.
Any team would give him a blank check. And you just had a few hours before we're coming on here. Lee Stevenson, as it's been rumored for a couple days, that's Max Verstappen's chief engineer, although he has not been the same involved as he was a couple of years ago, but still very involved with Max Verstappen specifically, but the Red Bull team for 18 years, apparently just put out a couple weeks ago on Instagram, a long letter about how happy he is at Red Bull and how amazing the last 18 years is, and seemed very positive. And now, 2-3 weeks later, he leaves in between races here. So very, very interesting. I don't know the details. This is pretty fresh news. I'm sure rumors and other stuff will come out. But he's not leaving to retire or to be with his family. Jeez.
No.
He's leaving to go to somewhere on the other side of the garage that has not been announced yet. Rumor is it's Haas, although that's a very loose rumor. I'm not making that up. I heard it from a couple other places, but we will see what happens. I reached out to Haas this week for comment, but they have not returned any of my emails. So We'll see what happens there. Any report back, and we'll let you guys know. So, that's where Red Bull is at the moment. I mean, not much Christian Horner news, but no news is probably bad news at the moment for anything coming out at that end. But Red Bull is in the news for the wrong reasons, and I think based on last year's performance at Suzuka, I think Max Verstappen has a very good chance to dominate next weekend. And I think for Red Bull's sake and the entire team, they would love to see a nice 25-second clear Max Verstappen win with a Perez number two and a nice, you know, front row weekend for Red Bull. That's what they're hoping for. Anything else than that, it's going to continue to put pressure on this team. And they are starting, when you have key players leave, or key people leave, the fallout's continuing here. And this is a Fallout town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg at this point.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lot more Red Bull news to come. If you have not jumped on the YouTube and subscribed, hit us up and subscribe. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. We thank you for jumping on this one and listening. Thank you to all of the new listeners. Welcome aboard. We have a lot of new listeners jumping on every single week, which has been absolutely amazing. And, of course, to all the old listeners and the ones who have been here since the beginning, we see you guys jumping on. So we really, really appreciate the ones who have been here for years with us. And March is our biggest month ever in the podcast. So February, I know it sounds like a broken record now because every single month we keep getting bigger and bigger, but it's because of you guys, continue support and continue listening. We can't put it into words how amazing it has been to have you guys along. So thank you for your continued support. Speaking of support, I think Carlos Sainz needs a little support there from his teammate, Charles Leclerc, who's been struggling this year. The only time he's made a podium is when Carlos Sainz has not been on the grid. So Charles Leclerc came out this week and said he needs to step it up, and he has been feeling the pressure because of Carlos Sainz's amazing start and the fact that he's going to be jumping on with Lewis Hamilton next year in those Ferraris as his teammate. Very, very interesting times for Charles Leclerc. Not expected that he would clearly be the second best driver of Ferrari three races through. Is Charles right?
Yeah. Plain and simple, yeah, he's got to pick his game up. Bottom line, he's supposed to be the number one driver of the team. That's why he's staying and Carlos is leaving. And he's not putting up that kind of performance. So, yeah, he's got to step it up. Just got to step it up massively. Otherwise, the pressure is really going to start mounting when they're going to start asking questions. Well, did Ferrari make the wrong decision? And not keep science over him. So, yeah. Bottom line, yes.
So, what is Carlos Sainz doing, or what is Charles Leclerc not doing right now to put himself in that position? Or is it just too early to tell? Is it just early in the season and everyone's overreacting with 21 races to go?
I mean, it's maybe a little too early to tell on what he's struggling with, but he's made some mistakes. Didn't really make too much of a move on any of the McLarens last weekend, so that's a little concerning that when they're supposed to have the better car. So, I mean, he seems to always have to have clean air, and he can't make that move. So he's got to step it up.
Yeah, somebody talked about Ferrari having trouble with that dirty air this year. Speaking of trouble,
but he's got to step it up.
Speaking of trouble, James Vowell's been taking a beating, deservedly for the disaster Williams had. And I think I said it from the beginning because what was really interesting to me was the first reaction that James Vowell's had as to kind of point the finger at as many other people as possible besides himself for not having a third vehicle or putting himself in a position to have a third vehicle there. Huge problem. Huge problem
in box.
Australia. Tub in a box, as you said. Didn't show up. Was never showing up. And now you're on the other side of the world. He'll have the third coming in, so they'll have a backup in Suzuka. But James Vowles, first impression, very disappointing. I was, like I said last week and last episode, I'm a huge supporter of James Vowles. I've been, but this was really bad. At what level, what scale of shitty was this? Like, one being like, this is a really bad screw up, to 10 being, you can get away with that one. Where are we on the scale of James Vowles' screw up here?
Wait, one is a massively screw up, and
massive
10
is like probably like should one. Be fired. Like, probably should be fired. Like
DEFCON one.
So probably.
I mean, just when
get
he
your resume together.
When he started to blame everybody else but himself, that's a leadership problem. Plain and simple, the leader's supposed to go down with the ship. The captain. The captain goes down with the ship. He doesn't say, hey, you guys take care of this. I'm getting on the dinghy and getting out of here.
Yeah. Leaders eat last, man. Leaders eat last.
I mean, every other F1, you know, team principal, when crap hits the fan, you know, they pretty much say stop, you know, starts with them. You know, Toto Wolff ain't blaming everybody else for Mercedes' problems. He's blaming himself. He's the leader of the team. When you start blaming everybody else because, you know, you didn't have a backup, you'd have a tub in a box just in case. That's ridiculous. That's a leadership problem. Maybe that's why Williams is taking a step back. Starts at the top.
Hey, absolutely. You call the preseason in the preseason testing episode. Check that one out, episode 95, if you haven't checked it out already. Or maybe 96. Either way, it is... it's a problem, man. And you called it. You said Williams is going to take a step back, and I was a little surprised by that. And you've been correct so far. We're only three races in. But, Williams is having problems. Speaking of more problems, Danny Ricciardo, just like that, we might be five races in to the 2024 season and seeing the return of Liam Lawson, who's chomping at the bit to get back into that vehicle. And Danny Ricciardo is doing pretty much everything he can to get himself canned at Visa, RB, Cash App, Red Bull, whatever that. I don't even know, you know, your work. Visa RB is bringing some upgrades this weekend. You think the upgrades will help Danny? Does he have to score a point this weekend? Does he have to finish at least in front of the Haases? When you have a double when you have a Haas with double points, everyone behind you gets on notice, and that's where we're at right now. So tell me about Danny Ricciardo and where we might see him in another month.
Well, rumor has it that, you know, the rumors have been denied, of course, but he's been given a two-race ultimatum, so Japan and China to step up, start showing some better performances, or Liam Lawson's taken over. The upgrades are coming. Apparently, Danny's been very helpful, apparently, with the upgrades and the direction the car should be moving to in the technical and aero aspect. So he's been apparently very helpful with that from what the team has said. So maybe this will help him. You hope so, especially, you know, us on this show. We love Danny Ricciardo, but he's got to start showing better performances than Yuki, who's been showing way more speed than he has. Bad mistake. Reason he missed out on, you know, getting out of Q1 in Australia when he just made an awful, was way over, like way out of control. So he's got to step up his game, bottom line. Maybe the upgrades will help, maybe they won't. We can only hope. But I mean, he's got the guy on the other side of the garage is doing a whole lot better. And when the guy on the other side of the garage is doing a whole lot better, it puts a lot of pressure on you. Then you guys, you know, Danny should, he's a veteran, should be able to eat the pressure for breakfast.
Yeah, Yuki has stepped it up.
Hopefully he turns around. And I mean, this is, you know, this is Suzuka. Basically every driver loves Suzuka. So this is probably his best chance to turn things around, would be at a track that most drivers like, and most cars usually handle it pretty well. So hopefully the upgrades work, he turns it around, but otherwise he might be out of a job. And if he loses that seat, that'll be it. That'll be the end of his F1 career.
He's got plenty of a career behind the microphone. He's got plenty of a career on the other side as far as that's concerned. So don't worry about Danny Ricciardo and his millions of dollars that he has. He'll be just fine. But I think losing a half a second in reaction time just shows, and it just comes with age. And it also shows the opposite end, how Lewis Hamilton's of the world, or especially Fernando Alonso's of the world, going back a couple years ago, Kimi Raikkonen, how long he lasted, and some of these other guys, how difficult it is to race into your late 30s, early 40s. It's really tough, and Danny's not. I think he's like 34. How old is Danny Ricciardo? It's tough, man. It's tough. And when your reaction time starts slipping a fraction, these are the best of the best of the best in the world. I mean, you put Danny Ricciardo in a car against anybody else in the world outside of like 30 people, maybe going one-on-one in an even vehicle, he's going to beat you. I mean,
yeah,
he's better than 99.99999% of the planet. Just unfortunately not better than 15 guys on the grid right now. And he's clearly in the bottom five drivers at the moment. And Yuki's success, and maybe Yuki just got better and got more mature. And I know maturity was a big problem of his, and stepping
no,
up.
No, not yet. No, that's definitely not. Definitely not on the maturity side. I mean, he saw that the first race when he was almost going to crash into his team.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
After the race. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can hear it. You can hear it in his voice on the radio when he's cursing and blowing up a storm about everything, while on the other spectrum with somebody who is mature at a young age, Oscar Piastri, when they tell him to move over for his teammate because, you know, team orders, he just goes, okay, does it, talk about it after.
Yeah,
well, that shows, you know, there's your maturity difference.
One of those drivers has,
and that's why, and that's why, and that's why, and that's why, you know, Piastri's on McLaren and Yuki's on, you know, Visa RB, with basically been said he's got no chance to get a Red Bull seat. So
yep, no chance, especially now. We'll see what happens at the end of the season. It should be interesting. If Yuki steps up and starts continuing and continuously scoring points, has learned his lesson for
he
that
has
first
zero
race,
zero chance. What are you gonna have the drivers out to the market right now? You got a Fernando Alonso. Red Bull would probably take him over Perez and Yuki.
If he drives next year.
Fernando Alonso said he will drive next year if he's on a team that has, you know, one of the upper echelon teams. If he's, you know, on the bottom of the grid, if the only chance he has is to race at, you know, Stake or Haas, yeah, he's out. He wants to challenge to win a title. That's what he wants.
Who are they taking? Gasly?
Would you take Gasly over Fernando?
Maybe.
No, I wouldn't. I'd take Fernando. The hunger's still there.
And the hunger's still there, but it's age, man.
There's better drivers out there beyond that, too. You got Carlos Sainz is out there. The only other driver over the last 2 years to win a race.
Mm-hmm. That's true. This is true. Besides a Red Bull driver, this is very true.
It's the only other guy on the grid that's won a race besides Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, as Carlos Sainz. That's it. He's definitely going to be a person that's probably being talked to now. You know, everybody's, nothing's really coming out. The rumors are flying afoot. There's, you know, he's going here, he's going there. But all the top teams are going. There's also the rumor of Sebastian Vettel coming back.
Very, very hot rumor. And it's been...
Very hot rumor. And it keeps gaining steam. So
we'll see about that as well.
There's drivers out there. So I don't think... There's way better options than Yuki Tsunoda for the Red Bull seat. I think if Max Verstappen ends up staying, a Max Fernando combination would be very interesting.
Very interesting.
That would be a very interesting combo.
Max is.
That would be a very, very interesting combo. To see those two side by side.
Anyway, speaking of Red Bull, a partner of Red Bull. Honda building a massive
built
power
a new engine base. Opened it.
Massive power engine base.
Yep. Power.
What does
this
mean?
Does
this mean for Formula One? How does this change the game?
They're partnering with Aston Martin 2026, so they're gearing up. Getting prepared, building their facilities, get the show on the road. It's what you do. I mean, Honda's back and forth here. But the new regulations are bringing in a lot of outside suppliers now. I mean, Ford's getting involved with Red Bull. You know, if Andretti ever gets into F1, they're going to bring, you know, GM under the Cadillac brand. Audi's taking, you know, or the VW group with Audi's taking over Sauber. They're going to have their own power plant. So it's bringing in a lot more names and a lot more manufacturers into the sport, which generates more money. And that's what they want.
They love money.
They love money.
They love money. Speaking of money, we will be back in less than 7 days, man, or 7 days from now, or maybe 8 days. I'm sorry, 8 days from now. My apologies. It is race week. We did not have a race week this week, so it'll be race week, and we are going, sir, as we aforementioned, Suzuka.
Yes.
Tell me about Suzuka, sir.
That was a fantastic track. One of my, you know, one of my, it's everybody's, one of everybody's favorite tracks.
It's fast, fantastic. Baby. It's fast.
Fast flowing, fast flowing, fun. Usually always puts up a pretty good race, too, so. And we haven't raced this early in Suzuka in, I think, like, forever, so.
Quite some time, man. Quite some should time. Be a fall race.
Should be interesting on what kind of weather we get. So they could throw the old rain monkey wrench into the whole weekend. And rain always has that fun, so we'll see.
We will see, and we will see you back here in 8 days for the post-race of Suzuka, Greening and the Cheese in the Paddock F1. Until then.
Stay medicated, my friends.
Peace.